So today is an exciting day in the Wilson household. Right before church started, my daughter, who's been at summer camp in California, she touched down at Bradley International Airport. I told her, even though she just took the red eye from California, I told her she should come in, at least give me a hug, stay for my sermon. For some reason, that didn't really appeal to her. So if the sermon's really short, that's because I'm going to go home and see my kid that I haven't seen all summer, right? Amen. Let's go. So I'm excited to see her. But then it's also kind of a sad thing because this is the last weekend that all four of us are together. This coming weekend, my oldest daughter is flying out to the West Coast where she'll be going to college. So the Wilson household will be completely together for like 3.5 days. So I am entering that phase called empty nest, and I don't know how I'm going to handle it. So I am really thankful, though, as my daughters grew up. They're less than 2 years apart, they're one grade apart. They just really grew up being each other's cheerleader and each other's best friend, and so I'm just thankful for that relationship. For myself, I grew up with three other siblings plus a longtime foster brother. Out of the five of us, I was the second youngest. I do have words to say about the youngest in the room, so don't tell me if you are one. But anyways, I was also homeschooled, so if you make a homeschool joke, I'll actually get it. And so no one else gets that. Great. Okay, so there we go. We have one brave soul. Yes, there we go. So we had a lot of time to kill growing up, and there was one time my older sister named Tammy and my younger brother named Toby, we were roller skating around the dining room table. Now, there wasn't very much room in the dining room to begin with, and somehow the three of us were roller skating around the table, and what happened next is up for debate. In fact, it's one of the great Wilson family mysteries. Somehow, my older sister fell down, and I don't know if it's because she landed, or people say it's because I somehow pushed her and kicked at the same time, and in her going down, she broke her arm. So, almost instantaneously, well, Theo did it. And I'm like, I'm not that talented to do both, but right away, that was the story. Theo did it. And that story went on for years and years and years. We'd be getting together as a family, and just out of the blue, without even being related to what we were talking about, that would just pop up. Hey, remember that time you broke our sister's arm? And it was a story that went on. Fast forward a few decades. It's September 2019. My sister Tammy is about to slip from this life into the next after a long bout with cancer. I was unable to make it to her bedside in her last few days, but something in those last few days happened that rewrote Wilson family history. You see, as everyone else was gathered there, staying up late, sharing stories, my little brother Toby admitted that I was not at fault. But of course, he admitted it because, well, I wasn't there. And when I did fly up in time for the services, my brother-in-law was quite happy to tell me this revolutionary news. But as he told me, my little brother instantly started backtracking. Well, no, that's not what I said. No. And I stopped him. And I just said, nope, it's too late. I am free. I'm free. You can't hold that story against me ever again. You know, and as followers of Christ, we have stories from our past that seem to get brought up, that linger over us. But can I remind you today that with just a word, you're free. 1 John 1:9 says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your forgiveness. Father God, may we be humble. May we be open to admitting our deep, deep need for your forgiveness. Lord, if there's someone here who is struggling with grasping and understanding your forgiveness or even forgiving themselves, Father God, I pray that you would take this time, speak to their life, speak to their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there are two types of people here in this room, those who realize their own sinfulness and, a fun word, depravity. And there are those who think they're really, well, they're not that bad off. Now, working with students, so much of teen culture is comparison-based. But before we start in on students for that, can we just say that adults kind of, we take some responsibility for that since we are the quote-unquote responsible adults that have created, social media and advertising and other things that, you know, have helped students live into a comparison culture. And let's admit that many adults are stuck in that way of thinking as well. And it's a problem when it comes to admitting our own sinfulness and our own need for forgiveness. Because oftentimes, instead of just admitting our own deficiencies, we fall into the comparison trap and we look at somebody else and we say, well, I'm not as bad as them. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. But if we think about it, and also with just a little careful editing, what we're really saying is still, well, I am kind of bad, but just not as bad. See how we are still admitting some depravity in ourselves. Romans 3:23 says, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." So that person that's sitting next to you that you're thinking of right now with their annoying sinful habit, guess what? You sin too. It's a level playing field. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool." For the phrase "settle this," God is using a legal term for settling accounts. The facts are, you sinned. You are in spiritual debt, but there is a way to be forgiven. Now, I can tell that some of the people in the room are already starting to glaze over because we don't like talking about sin, right? It's uncomfortable, it's not happy and fluffy and all those different things. So we don't like talking about sin. Well, we don't like talking about our own sin. We do like talking about other people's sin. Can we admit that? It's fun, isn't it? Okay, maybe just me. Talking about other people's sin can be fun. But it makes sense, right? Think about it. Why do people verbally put other people down? It's to make themselves feel better. So when we compare ourselves to other people, isn't it the same reason? To make ourselves feel better? But the beautiful thing about Christianity is not about how good you are. We can compare ourselves to one another to make us feel like we're good, if we're better than somebody else. But the beautiful thing is that it's not about how good you are. It's about the personal relationship with the one who paid the cost, the penalty for our sins, for us not being good enough. The beautiful thing about Christianity is that it's not about how good you are, it's about that personal relationship with the one who paid our costs for the consequences of us not being good enough. Amen. Thank you. And I'm not saying you're not good, because this room is full of good people, but Christianity is not about being good or good enough. But it's about admitting that you need the forgiveness of Jesus. The late Tim Keller once said that the worst things in your life, the character flaws and the sins in your life that are most going to ruin you or are ruining you or are going to make the people around you miserable are the things, the character flaws you least will admit. They're the ones you're in denial about. You rationalize and you minimize. By definition, those are crouching sins in your life. The ones that are going to take you out. Now, I actually love audience participation. I prefer teaching to preaching because it's easier to ask questions and have feedback and things like that. So let's just have some audience participation here. Let's talk about your sin, okay? Who would, what y'all laughing about, okay? I do believe that leaders should set the example. So we're some governance board members. We have Noah over here. And so Noah's looking at the floor. Okay. Since y'all are chicken, let's look at a story from the Bible. Let's go to one of the earliest stories of sin. Not Eve, but Cain and Abel. So this is from Genesis chapter 4. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. So obviously the offering that Cain brought in was subpar, but the offering that Abel brought in was like, it was the firstborn. He didn't know if he was going to have more lambs born that year or anything like that, but he brought in the very best at the risk of what he was going to have afterwards. Cain just brought in some. And so that's what was going on there. So Cain had his feelings hurt. And so God said, "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected?" And here's the crucial part of the story that I want you to remember. Verse 7. "You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. You must subdue it and be its master." You see, sin is like a crouching tiger or a hidden dragon, and it is gonna get you. So let's think about this. What is your signature sin? What is it you find yourself doing over and over again? What is that sin that is crouching in wait for you? Sin is like a crouching tiger. In Romans 7, Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, he understands this because he's grieved over his own sin and his own sinful habits. He wrote this in Romans 7. "I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway." Isn't that a phrase we can relate to? And often our biggest sins or our signature sins are the one that we often go to are often related to our strengths, because your personal strengths can also be your weaknesses. There's a way of understanding personalities called the Enneagram, and on that I am an Enneagram personality type 1, otherwise known as the Reformer. I have really high standards for myself. In fact, I am my own worst critic. But for that, the weaknesses that are associated with that is that I can easily fall into self-righteousness. I can fall into judging others. Workaholism can be a problem where I would prioritize work over family and justify it. Oh, it's ministry. People who serve can become boastful in their service or become bitter if they feel like they're not being appreciated. Peacemakers often avoid conflict to the point that they create conflict, and can easily fall into telling little white lies in order to get out of a conflict situation. See how our strengths of who we are can then be turned into a signature sin? See how the strengths, the ways that God has created us, if we're not careful, the devil, who is waiting like a crouching tiger, ready to use that weakness in our strength against us. We all sin. We all make mistakes. We all fall into the same habit over and over and over again. It's always funny taking students on retreats. What's up, Barbara? I have a rule on retreats. You take a bag. A bag. A equals one. You just went to camp, right? Yeah. You took a bag? A. Did you say four? A bag equals four. Let me just go back to my notes here. That kind of threw me off. My notes here say, but what inevitably happens is that there's one student who pulls out more bags than the rest of the group combined. We're talking about a bag for clothes, bag for toiletries, bag for bedding, bag for snacks, bag for crafts and projects, bag for et cetera and et cetera. Four? Good job. And while it's easy to pick on students and laugh at that idea, let's admit that as adults, we often carry around that much baggage from the effects of our sin and how our sin is weighing us down, and we just take it with us everywhere we go. That sin that is crouching at your door, that sin that is continually popping up, that sin that is popping up and hurting important relationships, that sin that is causing you to carry a baggage full of guilt, or the lingering reminder that your sin has hurt a relationship. And we just carry all this baggage around with us. But can I remind you of 1 John 1:9? If you're weighed down by your sin, remember this verse, 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Say this with me. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And see, here's the good news. God has a bag too. Job 14 says this. There we go. For then you would guard my steps instead of watching for my sins. My sins would be sealed in a pouch, and you would cover over my guilt. So God has a bag. We carry around these bags full of sin, and guess what? God actually does too. My sins would be sealed in a pouch, and you would cover my guilt. Now that is a little intimidating to think about, but check out what is said here in Micah. Chapter 7. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. So God has a bag with our sins in it, but it's sealed. He puts it on the ground. He stomps on it with his God-sized foot, and he hurls it into the ocean. And can I remind you all? The ocean's deep, and there's no fishing. God puts our sins in a bag, stomps on it, throws it to the depths of the ocean, and leaves it there. I heard a praise God out there. Thank you. The lyrics to the Christian band Sanctus Real's song Forgiven says, well, the past is playing with my head and failure knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. In this life, I know what I've been, but here on your arms, I know what I am. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And I don't have to carry the weight of who I've been because I'm forgiven. It is settled with God. Though your sins were as scarlet, now you're white like snow. With just a word confessing your sin, you can be free. Amen. Thank you. And lastly, I need to just briefly touch on this. Because we are forgiven, we also do need to forgive. In Matthew 18, Jesus tells the parable of a man who owes millions of dollars, the equivalency of millions of dollars. And he comes before the king, and the king is ready to throw him in jail. And he begs and he pleads. The king even says, imprison this man and sell everything, including his family, to repay the debt. But after the man begs and pleaded, he forgave the debt and he said, don't put him in prison. Well, unfortunately, this man who was just forgiven such an enormous debt goes and finds someone who really owes him like $1,000. He finds him and he actually assaults him by grabbing him by the neck and demanding that he pays him back. When people who understood the debt that he had been forgiven saw that, they went and they told the king, and the king was furious at the person whose astronomical debt he forgave. In fact, Jesus said this in the parable, quoting the king, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? You see, since we've been forgiven, we need to forgive as well. In fact, one of those verses that we really like to ignore, like I don't know anyone who highlights in their Bible who have highlighted the second part of this passage. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Like we got that highlighted, right? But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's probably the part we don't do much highlighting of. That being said, forgiveness is hard. I'm not going to stand here and say it's not a difficult thing to do. There are some days where I do a really amazing job of forgiving those who have hurt me or who have hurt my family. There are other days where all I can think of is how I wish something bad would happen to them. And I'm not the only one in this room who struggles from day to day with forgiving people. Forgiveness, especially intense, deep wounds, can be difficult. But when we don't forgive, we're actually hurting ourselves. You see, when we don't forgive and we hold grudges against other people, we actually think that we're harming those who have hurt us. But really, it's hurting ourselves. It's causing bitterness to take root in our heart and to grow. The mother of a racist hate crime victim once said that being unforgiving is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. So while forgiving others may be a challenge, and while some days it's hard, and some days you're like, God, I can't. God, you know what this person did to me. I think that's where the grace and the mercy and the compassion of our Lord comes in. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14 said, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust." You see, when we're struggling with forgiving someone, he is like a father to us, listening to us, allowing us to vent and rant and cry and be full of anger and frustration. And so on days when it's hard to forgive, let him know. It's not like you're surprising him, right? Pour out your heart to him. Abba, Father, I'm struggling today to forgive this person. We can be free with just a word, right? We can confess our own sins and be free, but I think sometimes we need to confess anger and the struggle to forgive others in order to be free as well. So next time that happens, talk to him. He already knows and he's not surprised. But the act of telling him does wonders for our soul. Friends and family, with just a word, you can be free. If you are struggling with guilt, you can be free. If you're struggling with feeling inadequate before a holy God, you can be free. If you're even struggling today with forgiving someone, talk to God about it. Pour out your emotions. Don't bottle them up. Begin the process towards freedom in that regard. Allow God to work in your life. Let's all pursue freedom. Let's all pursue freedom to walk in Christ the way that he designed for our relationships to be. Will you pray? Father God, I pray for every single person here in this room. Father God, I pray for those who are struggling with some form of guilt or feelings of inadequacy. Father God, help them to confess that to you. And Lord, if there is someone that they need to confess to one-on-one, I pray that you would give them the strength to do so and even begin, Father God, preparing the hearts of those that they may need to talk to. May you be divinely involved in those conversations. Lord, we pray for those in here who are struggling to forgive. Father God, I'm glad, I'm so thankful that you understand how hard that can be. I do thank you for your example of Jesus dying on the cross, asking you to forgive those who have harmed him. May we seek to follow Christ in his example. And Father God, we do thank you for your grace and your mercy. When in our fallen human state, it is hard to do so. Father God, may we be a church full of free people delighting in the relationship with you that you created us to be in. One where we are free. In Jesus' name, amen. It's appropriate that we talk about forgiveness here on Communion Sunday. Communion is the remembrance and celebration of what Jesus did for us so very long ago. And just some housekeeping notes, our communion is gluten-free, dairy-free, and alcohol-free. They do contain eggs for those who have an egg allergy. Here at Trinity, we invite you to come forward. You can partake of the elements up front, or you can take them back to your seat and partake there. And if you are unable to come forward, please raise your hand and we will bring the elements to you. And today, if you need someone to pray with you after partaking of the elements in communion, we'll have members of the prayer team over here and over there. So as we approach the communion table, the table that Christ has invited us to, the table where we can experience the freedom that comes with knowing the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, let us recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father God, as we approach this table, we thank you for the work, the act of Jesus Christ on the cross, Father God. And so, Lord, we come and we ask for forgiveness. Lord, we ask for forgiveness in ways that we have sinned by the things that we have done and by the things that we have left undone. Father God, may we take responsibility for our actions, but also fall into the warming embrace of your grace, love, and mercy. We thank you that our relationship with you is not based on how good we are or if we are good enough, but our relationship with you is based on us admitting our need for your forgiveness, the forgiveness that you give to us all when we confess to you. We are so undeserving of this, and yet you give it. Today we remember that. May we partake in these elements responsibly and honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians tells us that on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." I'd like to invite the servers to come forward. Ushers will then invite you to come forward row by row when it's time, going from front to the back. Friends and family, this is the table of Christ that we are invited to partake in. Come. Thank you. Diane, Diane, will you be over there after the service?
Claire, there is someone else over
okay.
there.
Okay, cool.
I thought they would come up at that time.
Yeah.
They'll be here after.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
It's got word. George is good. So once again, thank you to everyone who quickly came to his assistance. If you wish that you had gone forward for prayer, we will still have someone over here following the service to pray with you. Thank you for being here today. As you leave, remember that you were created to be in a relationship with Jesus, overflowing with joy, and you can live that way when we confess our sins. When we confess our sins, we can be free. Go today, go forth in freedom and live in a joyful relationship with Christ. Amen.